Rich Kimble here, Kerry Haskell, and Bruce Pratt with us for Sports Lit 101 every single Wednesday afternoon. We continue talking this week about the terrific anthology Replays, Rivalries, and Rumbles, the most iconic moments in American sports. And Bruce, we got a lot of folks lined up who've contributed to this book, including next week, the editor who'll be with us.
Yeah, Stephen Geitschire, who is the editor and also wrote a wonderful book about Curt Flood. You know, so many people think that Curt Flood won a victory he didn't win. I mean, he lost, and it threw him out of baseball and prevented him from having a career. We'll talk to Stephen Hardy about Miracles on Ice, about both 60 and 80. And then we will be talking down the line, hopefully with Maureen Smith and some of the other authors, because it's such a great book for people who like sports and like to be able to get sort of the skinny on things without having to read an entire book. We'll have Chad Carlson on, who's written a great piece in here about the NCAA tournament, and who will be talking with us about that, and also about his new book, which we should have right before that.
Talking about the book Replays, Rivalries, and Rumbles here on Sports Lit 101, and happy to welcome back to the show author Ron Smith. Ron, thanks for being with us again.
Well, good to be with you, and we're going to send you some crummy weather, but other than that...
We live in Maine. We know it's coming.
We're used to it. We're ready for it, too. Well, let's talk about this wonderful piece you did for the book, George Gipp, Newt Rockne, and the Postmortem Faux Pas. And like so much else, the legend nowhere near the reality in this story.
Well, not many people know about George Gipp's death and the fact that Notre Dame and Newt Rockne decided not to pay his hospital bill from someone that came down from northern Michigan to help doctor him and hope to get him and failed when he died of pneumonia. And that's what this is about.
Well, one of the other interesting things that I did not know about Gipp was that he didn't really even go to school. I mean, he didn't spend very much time in the classroom. And that if we really look at his, it's really an exploitation of an athlete in many ways, the story, is it not?
Well, exploitation often goes two ways. Who is exploiting whom?
Yeah.
And it's true that the universities can exploit athletes, but athletes can exploit the system if they want to. I was fortunate to go to a pretty good university, Northwestern. I was on the basketball and baseball teams there, and I didn't see very much exploitation, but I know it can happen.
Well, yeah, I guess what I meant is that Gipp, there, you mentioned in the book that his death might have been precipitated by his continued playing and under bad conditions, and along with his somewhat dissolute lifestyle. But that never seems to come out in the movie. I mean, the movie, he just suddenly gets sick and he's going to die.
Yeah, it was interesting. He had a major injury, a broken collarbone or something like that, and he played with that when he got it taped up. Then he went to, and he wasn't going to play against Northwestern toward the end of the season. And they brought him along, and the alumni, and there are many Notre Dame alums from Chicago region, went to the Northwestern game, and this was the Newt Rockne, a tribute to Newt Rockne game. And so toward the end of the game, they were asking and pleading for Rockne to play his star, Gipp. And finally, Rockne said, okay, go in. I know you're not feeling good and you got a cold and you're probably injured and all that, but go in. And he did great, but he didn't need to go in there. And it was a rotten game in terms of weather and cold and wet. And so it probably contributed to his death, for sure.
Even the Gipper himself, that legend, as you point out, he was certainly no amateur when he arrived to play football for the Irish.
Well, not really, but because I think he probably played summer baseball for a little bit of money up in northern Michigan, but he really wasn't a professional when he went there. he hadn't graduated from high school, but Notre Dame wanted a good baseball player, and he was a very, very good baseball player, and so they recruited him to play baseball. And then evidently the story goes that they saw him kicking a football on an empty lot, and they said, if you can kick it that far, you should be out for the football team. As it turned out, he was a terrific athlete. He was very fast. He could throw the football. He could knock down or intercept passes. And so he was truly a great athlete, and better known in 1920, the year that he died, he was better known than Rockne.
One of the things that I found fascinating, and I didn't know this, but when Notre Dame originally wanted to be part of the Big Ten, many of the Big Ten schools didn't want to take him in because of their academic standards, something that has certainly changed.
That's what they said, and Notre Dame didn't have very high academic standards, so that was a good reason for rejecting him. But I can almost assure you, Northwestern, for instance, was a Methodist school. Chicago was a Baptist school. I don't think they really wanted, and Michigan hated Notre Dame because it was going to be another competitor for Michigan. They really didn't want them in there, and the major reason, I think, was that they were Roman Catholic.
Also interesting, too, we're talking with Ron Smith here on Downtown, that undefeated season earned Coach Newt Rockne a pretty healthy bonus.
He got a bonus, and it was more than the bonus was quite a bit more than the cost of the hospitalization and a doctor coming from Chicago to South Bend. Rockne could have paid it out of his bonus easily, and Rockne loved money.
Well, yeah, and it was about $750, I remember, was what the physician that had treated Gip wanted. And Notre Dame wouldn't kick in, nor would Rockne kick in. What was Notre Dame's reason for not wanting to help?
Well, there was quite a good reason. They had doctors from the area, South Bend, who were treating him. And Gip's mother and father, mother and brother, both wanted the doctor from Chicago to go over, who had been treating him previously after the Northwestern game. So they really wanted him, and so they asked him. Rockne may have given permission, he may not have given permission, but Rockne didn't often tell the truth about those kinds of things. And so we really don't know whether he said that Notre Dame will pick it up. But the president didn't want to do it, and Rockne didn't want to do it, and so they didn't pay it for a long time until they got embarrassed.
Now, Rockne did use the Gip story, although a completely fabricated one, to fire up his team before a big game.
Yeah, and the story goes, and if you look at the Gip movie with our former president starring in it, if you believe that, then on his deathbed he said, "Well, Rock, when the going gets tough, will you just win one for the Gipper, will you?" And no one called Gipper at the time, so I don't know who made that up, but it's a great myth. Whether there is some truth to it, but that game was 8 years later, and they were playing Army before almost 80,000 people in New York City, and they were tied at halftime, and Rockne made one of his speeches, and he used the death of Gip 8 years before as a saying, "Look," he said, "win one for the Gipper, and go out there and beat the hell out of them." And they did, and they won.
Well, that's how legends are made.
Legends are made.
Absolutely. Ron Smith.
Just like in Bangor High School. Same kinds of myths probably occur.
Oh, yes. Yeah. None of them about me, I can safely.
I was going to say there are some about Rich, but we'll leave those alone.
Ron, thank you so much for coming back on with us. We loved your piece, and the whole collection, Replays, Rivalries, and Rumbles, is absolutely terrific.
Yeah, and if you ever want to talk about the brain injury, CTE, I have a great story out of a 1905 Harvard situation. Some people in New England might be interested in that.
Well, we'll
we would be.
We will set a date and definitely do that. Thank you, Ron.
Hey, have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
That's Ron Smith. Replays, rivalries, and rumbles. Next week, we talk with the editor, Stephen Guttschier, and more to come over the course of the next few weeks.
Yeah, Stephen Hardy, Chad Carlson, and hopefully Maureen Smith. A wonderful article there in Althea Gibson. Lots of stuff I didn't know.